So yeah. What I would love to talk to you about is first-time buyers buying, moving from renting a home to buying a home. Apparently, yeah. Right now, it's peaking.
The real estate market? Yeah, it's probably getting close to something like that for sure.
And so I have never owned a piece of property, so I personally am concerned about this. What are the first steps that someone needs to take if all they've done is rented?
If all they've done is rented, the first thing you've got to look at is coming back to the affordability. Now, today, where mortgage rates are or interest rates on mortgages are so low, it does make sense for many people to consider purchasing and getting into the real estate market. Now, that's not a timing aspect of the real estate purchase, because predominantly when you buy your primary residence, you don't treat it as an investment short term. It certainly becomes one over 20, 25 years because, of course, normal trends in markets, they will always go up over a length of period like that. But to get in, you've got to look at what am I paying in rent today and making sure I have the ability to afford making that rent payment. What could I qualify for as a mortgage? And that's really the first thing you'll look at, is saying, for round numbers, if I'm spending $1,200 a month on rent, I could look today at probably carrying close to $200,000, $225,000 mortgage. So that sort of then gives you a ballpark idea of what you could qualify for based on your cash flow. It doesn't mean that's what you're qualifying for based on your income. It's based on what you're already spending.
Right.
The item you've got to come up with is the down payment. That's the big one that's there. That's the part that says, okay, I already have $40,000, for an example, that I have saved up somewhere that I could use towards the down payment, that I'm using this $200,000 mortgage. So in reality, I can look to purchase something in the $240 range.
Now, can I just stop you there for a sec? The $40,000, as an example, is that physical money, or could it be assets? Could it be RRSPs?
Yeah, it could be a combination of both. It can't really be just strictly assets. Again, if you have something that's not liquid, I mean, reality is that the bank wants to see you have enough money to basically put enough interest in it for yourself, and that's that. Traditionally, it's 25%. If you go into a conventional mortgage, the loan-to-value ratio is 75%. So in other words, for round numbers, if the property was $200,000 you were purchasing, you need $50,000 as a down payment. Where do you come up with that? Certainly, it's savings. You have an opportunity to pull some money out of an RSP without a tax impact. It's called the first-time home buyer's payment. That's first time is the concept here. Or you haven't owned a home at least in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You would qualify as a first-time home buyer. You're allowed to pull out a maximum of $20,000 out of the RSP. That could be you and your spouse, so $20,000 each. That would give you access to $40,000. One of the things to be aware of, though, with the home buyer's withdrawal, is that you're going to be required to pay it back. The schedule is 1/15th, or basically over the next 15 years, you have to make a payment back into the RSP to basically offset the money that you pulled out. If you don't make that contribution back in, you have to take the money into income. So if it was $20,000 you pulled out, you're required to put $1,333 back. If you don't put that in, you all of a sudden have $1,333 of income. So that's something to consider. The other side of the coin with the home buyers is you are foregoing your retirement or delaying retirement for the purchase of today's home. So bring that into the equation as well as whether it's worth it or not.
Can you expand on that?
Yeah, just simply, again, if you've taken $20,000 out of your RSP, and let's say in 25 years you want to retire,
right.
And let's say, for example, you're getting a 7% rate of return, that means it's going to double, well, have three doubling periods and another one. So your 20 becomes 20, 40, 80, $160,000, basically,
yeah.
Versus you owning a home today.
But you want to retire in a home, don't you?
Well, there's no question about that. that's sort of the juggling act you've got to play. But it's really coming back more to the point of try to get the money back into the RSP ASAP.
As a financial advisor, have you seen any first-time buyers and what struggles they're facing right now?
Yeah, a lot of them got in a little over their heads. It is always a grave concern today when you see people with, mortgages. And certainly if you ever talk to our grandparents, but even our parents, age group, anybody that's sort of in their 60s today, and you tell them that, kids with, just starting a family are carrying a $250,000, $300,000 mortgage, the hair would go up on the back of their neck and they'd have no idea how they're ever going to pay that off. And it's because, again, of the affordability of interest rates. They were accustomed to, you know, seeing rates at 10%, 11%, 1981, they went to 18, things like that. So they were used to very high interest rates, where many people today think this environment we're in is going to stay here forever. The reality of it is everything's like a pendulum. Maybe we swung too far back on the low interest rate. And it's in fact that we know that the central banks of, well, certainly the globalized world are all saying that interest rates are going to rise. So you have to build in a buffer. I mean, if you're qualifying for a mortgage with every last cent that you have today, and you have to ask yourself the question, what if interest rates go up 2%? What would my new payment be, and can I afford it?
Yeah.
Because that's what happened in periods like 1981 or 1991 in Ontario when interest rates went up and people just walked away from homes because of the simple fact that their mortgage was far more than they could ever afford as because of interest rates moving.
Is there an ideal kind of cushion to be sitting on, a nest egg maybe, with the amount of money that you should have as a backup?
Yeah, certainly as a backup, what you do is we traditionally call it an emergency fund. An emergency fund should be 3 to 6 months of your current salary. That's an ideal buffer to have because that takes care of the what-ifs of the world. What if I have an ailment and I'm sick for a month and I'm obviously not getting the same income I was driving when I was earning my income and going to work?
Mm-hmm.
What if the hot water tank blows up? What if, you know, interest rates do move on me? I've got this buffer that will help carry me through those periods. But it really comes back to is not getting into a mortgage scenario that's got you right to the last dollar or very close to it. You should have a significant level of flexibility in there. In other words, you know, you have the ability. I mean, a great example I always try to get people to do is say, okay, you know, if you're looking at targeting a $1,500 mortgage, prove to me for the next 6 months you can save $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
And then saving that $2,000 a month, one is it's already this building a buffer, but they're already then getting accustomed to that size of a payment over and above what their current mortgage payment would be. And if they can't do the $2,000 a month for the 6 months, then you're possibly jumping into, you know, deep end of the pool.
Well, that sounds like a good test. Thanks for your time, David. That's great.
You're very welcome. Okay, everyone, take care.
That's David Sweeney, a financial advisor with Dundee Wealth Management, offering some advice for first-time home buyers and kind of relieving my stress. That saving your money challenge? I don't think I do too well at that. I'm Rajmi Nair, settling on renting for now for the Mountain Monitor.